All right. So the teaching I'm going to share actually is kind of inspired off of one that we had that was taught at the weekend that we did a number of weeks ago. Sam Pittenger taught it, and just on being receptive to God, you know, hearing Him, how to walk with Him, just real simple. So I want to start. Let's start today in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We'll get rolling here in a minute. I was just thinking about it this week, how important the Word of God is, and how the reality of what it is sometimes can be lost in our day-to-day living because of the influx of information we get from the world and a number of different things. But I was talking to Samuel about how he speaks truth. And the neat thing I was thinking about is it's not just that God tells the truth. It's when He says something, it is truth. You know, the beginning of the Bible, He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. When He says it, if it wasn't there before, it will be after He says it, because His words will come to pass. You see, my believing doesn't even bring God's word to pass. His word will come to pass because God said it. That's believing. You see, it's that simple. I wasn't there when He said, "Let there be light." But light existed after He said it. His words will come to pass. It's that simple. So we have the opportunity to open the book and read His words and apply them to our life, knowing that because they're His words, they will come to pass. It's that simple. And I can't limit the fact that God's words will come to pass. Thessalonians says that it effectually works in those who believe it. Don't you want the Word of God to effectually work in your life? We want that Word to have effect and to work in our life, right? And that's so, it's amazing. You know, no one was going to stop the Savior from coming. He was going to make that happen. It was His Word, right? And it's an amazing thing. So we have the opportunity, the privilege to open the book, to read revelation from God's word that applies to our lives, and to believe and trust that. That because God said it, it will come to pass. And I don't have to doubt. And the word teaches me how not to doubt. And I've been given a spirit that enables me to believe and to walk in this stuff. We can't go wrong here. You know, it's pretty awesome. So Philippians 2. Coming off a great passage. I'm actually going to start in 9, verse 9. It says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted Him," referring to Jesus, "and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Then I want to get to verse 12 here. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And this is just an incredible statement. Look at verse 13. It said, "It's God that works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure." Okay? That's, He will work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Okay? In verse 12, it says to work out our deliverance with fear and trembling. And that's, you can understand that as reverence, that fear, which is reverence. And trembling is, it's obedience. It's having reverence and obedience for what He says. You know, I'm thinking about the verse in Isaiah 66 that talks about how that God will look to the man who trembleth at his word. That when his word is spoken, that there's reverence and there's obedience for that word. Yeah. It's so sweet. So it says here in verse 13 that it's God that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's an amazing thing to know. I know I've shared this with you guys before, but I'm going to share it again, because when I realized that something about this verse, it really changed my life. Because I used to read it and I think to myself, yeah, he tries to work in me, but I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. My head's too thick. I'm too full of pride sometimes. This, that, the other thing. And here's a son of God with the Spirit of God in me. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to do what he wants me to do. And I think that somehow my mind or my body or my way of being is limiting God. And God says that he works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, and the thing that I realized is, in thinking that I limited that, I was just limiting him. Because he's God Almighty, and you're his kid. He can work in you. And if you want him to, if you have that desire as a child to know what his will is, don't you think a good father who's, by the way, God Almighty, can't work in you? He sure as heck can, you know? Absolutely. There's no doubt there. So now you can take you can walk forward and you think to myself, I expect that God will be working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's both to desire his good pleasure and then also to do his good pleasure. And we can trust without a doubt that God is working in you to do that. That's awesome. Because it's the word of God and he said it. So it's true. Awesome, right? Then it says here, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And then it says, holding on to the word of life. That's not holding it forth, but holding on to the word of life. Do all things, here verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's pretty neat. It's you look up those words, and those murmurings and disputings are things that, like, the Pharisees would do. When Jesus would say something, or he was about to heal on the Sabbath day, and they would be disputing, but it'd be an internal dispute. Like, I don't know about that. You know, where they're debating the word of God in their heart, you know. So it's God that's working in you to will and do of his good pleasure. And we're to do all things without murmuring and disputing. Trying debating whether or not I do it or don't do it or hear it or not hear it. He works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Pretty awesome, right? And then we're to do that without murmurings and disputings. That we may be blameless, harmless, sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. Or nation, among whom you also shine as lights. You shine as lights, and you hold on to that word of God. All right, go to James. This is awesome. This is very practical. It's exciting to get in the word because we're going there to learn those words that God has given to us. It's profitable, right? For us to do that, says in Timothy, that we'd be fully equipped. That's why we go to the Word. All right, James chapter 1. This is so cool. Chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And this is so practical, and it's so good to know this. So when do you lack wisdom?
Always.
Always, right? When you wake up in the morning, you're lacking wisdom, right? If you're relying on yourself, you lack wisdom, right? We need God's wisdom. Even if I'm very wise at something in a category, how much more wise is God, right? So there's always a need for wisdom. Every decision that I need to make, you know, always need wisdom, right? I think, what's that verse in Proverbs, 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. What if I just believe that? What if I would just take God at his word and just believe that? And then go to him for the wisdom for my paths to be directed. You know? It is that simple. The problem is we question, we debate the word sometimes. And we think, well, in this situation, I need an answer yesterday and I don't have it yet. So God must not be talking to me. Right? We do that. And we get anxious and then we just make a decision, but we don't wait on him. And we're going to see as we're going on here a couple really awesome examples of just waiting. Just waiting. If God is faithful, if his word says that if I trust him, he'll direct my path. If his word says that he works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure, if that's what his word says, and it's true, then I can afford to wait until I have that wisdom. You see? Instead of being the man who wavers like a wave of the sea, where I say, I ask for wisdom, but then I get anxious and I just do my own thing. You know, and then I'm back and forth, debating and murmuring in my own heart when I can just sit back and wait on him. You know, it's amazing. And his timing is so much better than all of our time. And that's not just something that we say as an excuse for when we don't have answers. That's really true. An example, you think about it, most of you all have kids, right? Or have had kids at some point, young ones. And I think about, like, my children, you know, they'll want something right now. And they're asking and pulling on my clothes, they want it right now. But I know the right order in which to get it to them so it's the best for them and for everyone else in the household, right? So if they would just wait, they would do themselves a favor, right? Because I can get it to them. Right? If they would just wait, they would just listen. It's that simple. You know, but the difference between me and my child is far less even than the difference between us and God in terms of wisdom and understanding. Yeah. So this is awesome. Let's read this again in James. It says in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all liberally. He pours out wisdom, guys. This is his word. This is what he says. Oh, that we would just believe that. He gives wisdom liberally, and he doesn't give you a hard time about asking. And it shall be given to him. It'll be given to that person who asks. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you do, you can afford to wait. Because the word of God says that if you ask, he'll give you wisdom liberally. So you can afford to wait. That it says, but let him ask in faith or in believing. You just believe that. Believe that he's willing and able to give you that information. And don't waver on that. Because the situation and the way the world is set up and the way our adversary likes to do things is to put the pressure on so that you start to doubt whether or not the wisdom or that is going to be there or the needs are going to be taken care of. But you just stay put because the word of God is enough. That's enough, you see? And it's awesome. Let's go to, I want to look at a couple records. Let's look at Samuel. We're going to look at the prophet Samuel because he's an awesome example of this. There's a couple really great examples of this. And 1 Samuel 16. Just a great example of waiting. But you think about, you know, you start to look at some just amazing men and women in the Word and just how, just their patience, just to wait to hear what God said and to do that. our Lord being a prime example, said, you know, he says, I could do nothing of myself, right? That which I hear, I do. Isn't that cool? That which I hear, I do. Think about when his friend Lazarus was sick and people wanted him to come. Now Jesus knows he's able to heal his friend Lazarus, one of his best friends, right? And everyone's getting anxious about it because he's a couple, I don't know how far away he was, but he was not in the town, right? But he waited. And you see in the context of that, that he teaches his disciples how he's waiting and he's walking in the light. That's what he's doing. He's walking in the light of what God tells him to say. And all the senses would be screaming at that time, go heal your friend, go heal your friend. And all your friends are saying, go heal your friend, go heal your friend. But there's one voice that he's listening for. And that's what the Father says. And he waits, right? And then he does wind up going, and he delivers his friend anyways, right? God took care of things. He did. It's amazing. All right, 1 Samuel. And that can be us. We're children of God. We have the Spirit of God. We're able to commune with him and to know what his will is. Samuel 16 here, it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And verse 2, this is cool. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And something, just a neat little note here on 2, I was thinking about it. You know, here, Samuel questions God about it, right? But A, it's not with the heart of coming up with an excuse why he's not going to do it. But he's going to God for more wisdom here. Do you see? He's coming to God, he's like, well, how am I going to do it? You've told me to do this now, but how am I going to do it because I'll get killed if I don't? There's not internal debate as to whether or not he's going to do it or not. He heard what God wanted him to do, and he's going to do it. Now he's asking God how. Asking him for wisdom. Simple, right? You know? Ananias does the same thing when the Lord calls him to go heal and deliver Paul, who was destroying the church at that time. He said, but Lord, you know, I hear he's here to kill us. You want me to go? Yes, I want you to go, because he's going to do what he's going to do for me. You know, pretty amazing, right? So this is not that internal debate. He's going to God for wisdom. In verse 3 it says, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And thou shalt anoint unto me, look at this, him whom I name unto thee. Okay, very clear. God isn't giving him all the information. He's giving him the first step. You go, call the sacrifice, bring Jesse and his sons together, and I'll show you who to anoint, the one that I named to you. Verse 4, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, yep, peaceably. He must have had a reputation, I don't know. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said, look at this, verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Isn't that a cool lesson? Yeah, sometimes we just don't see what God sees. We have his Spirit, we have his Word, so we're certainly growing towards that. Okay? But these old eyeballs don't always see what God sees. Right? Doesn't it make sense that I would want to rely completely on his wisdom? God who can see the end from the beginning? You know? It does, right? So here's Samuel, and initially his first impression is this dude's like tall and who knows, big and maybe good looking and carrying a sword or something. He looked like a king to him. And he said, this guy's the one, right? And God says, hey, You know, I've refused him. I don't look the same way you look. Now look at this. Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he, Samuel, said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And I know, it's just, you gotta remember, like, Samuel's a man, right? So he's there, he's supposed to anoint the king, and it's supposed to be of Jesse's sons. So here's the first one, it's not that guy. Second, third, fourth, he keeps going on down the road. Certainly when you get to the seventh man, it must be the king, right? Just by sheer logic. And yet, it's not. And just the example here, as Samuel is just willing to wait for what God says. Because God, what did God tell him? What was the word that God told him? I will name you one. I'll show you specifically. Right? So it's just simple. It's a sweet thing. I tell my kids, I say, you know, part of obeying is listening and then remembering and then obeying. It's that simple, right? We listen, we hear it, and then we remember it, and then we obey it. We carry it out. And here's God walking Samuel through this thing. Because we're never alone in this endeavor, which is also awesome. That's grace. So all seven sons passed by, and Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? Are these all your kids? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. He's a good-looking guy, I guess. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. There you go. Isn't that cool? It's just a great example here. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the middle of his brethren, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So, and this is amazing. You think about the impact now that this has, because David is in the Christ line, right? The throne of our Lord Jesus Christ is called the throne of David. So, did it have some real major bearing on the course of life for all human beings that Samuel chose the right king at that moment and anointed the right guy? Yeah. You know, that's pretty awesome. And he just waited. God gave him direction. You go to the town. Okay, go to the town. Okay, now you do this. Okay, we're doing that. Nope, it's not any of these. Okay, well, then there must be another one somewhere, right? So they bring him in, and that's the one. And it's just step by step by step. Just very simple. Let's go to, go earlier in Samuel, chapter 3. This is a cool record. So this is Samuel's upbringing. Gives a little picture into his upbringing. He was born and he was given to the service of the ministry of the temple, and he served Eli, who was the high priest at the time. He served Eli, and so when he was a young boy, and this is in chapter 3, it talks about the first time that Samuel hears from God. That he's getting to know him, that he hears from him. And this is pretty awesome. Verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, that's one. I'm sorry. I was thinking about it too much here. Yeah, okay, let's say it. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, and Eli said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and he lied down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you did call me." I'm not crazy. And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lied down in his place. And it's just, and it's neat, then the Lord does come and he calls again and Samuel answers. But the neat thing I love about this is Samuel, even as a young child, is being trained. And here he is, he thinks that his master called, that Eli called. And he, right, goes right over. What is it? What do you need? What do you need? So this is already the heart of Samuel, even as a young child, is just to be ready. Ready to serve, ready to do what it is that the master says. So now that he's coming into getting to know the Lord, this example, he's going to have that same heart where God says, "Hey, do this." Okay. You know, I'm there, listening, ready. Pretty amazing. So we have, let's finish here in, let's go in Isaiah 66. We'll kind of close there. I think about all these really great verses. You know, some of them wind up on our refrigerators and who knows where they're hanging, you know, but they're true. It's the Word of God, right? And we can literally take it for what it says. And we can afford, I think if we get understand nothing more from today, is just that we can afford to wait on Him. To wait on Him to hear what He has to say. If you need wisdom, ask, and then wait for it. You know, the other thing that I would not want to neglect from saying is we have a lot of wisdom right here. We have a ton of revelation right here. And if I want to know my God and I want to know His will, it can start right here with my Bible. You know, open it up and read and learn what the will of God is. In those specific situations where there's no, like, "Jim, do this" in the scriptures, I, you know, for a thing that comes up in my life, I know that the Word says that I can ask God and He'll give me wisdom. That if I rely on Him, He'll direct my paths. The Word says that. I couldn't know that without this book, right? And so I know that now. So now I can obey that and expect and wait for the answer to come, you know. I remember, you know, just to bring it practically speaking, like in life things, something comes up, you know, with my family, and I it's an area that we're growing in more and more. I used to run, you know, I would run to medical things to help out. I'm a nurse after all, right? Probably know too much. But what if I just waited and asked Him? I'm not saying not to go to the hospital or the doctor, but what if I just ask God first and then wait for Him to tell me, right? And not be afraid to wait on Him and get the answer from Him. You know what I'm saying? Just practical. What if I have a financial situation coming up? The bill's due and I can't pay it. You know, I could get anxious and try and figure it out myself, or I could give it to Him and say, "Okay, Father, I'm waiting on You. You know, give me the wisdom what I need to do." And then He will. And then you do that, you know? It's great. Our Lord did that, right? Just sent Peter fishing, pulled a coin out of the mouth, and paid the taxes, you know? Pretty awesome. Isaiah 66. We'll finish here. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. And that's not poor monetarily, that's poor, that's humble, meek. Poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Isn't that cool? That's a great verse. There's a good verse to put on your refrigerator. Look to him that is poor, that's meek and of a contrite spirit. We're just humble. You know, we just wait on him. He's faithful. He'll take care of you. So, I love you guys. That's what I want to share.